revving up the Lean Braise. Fasten your seatbelts and hold on to your carrots, comrades. We are going to burn some high-performance health rubber. We are about to enter the Lean Braise Throwdown Zone. Accelerating for the simple solutions, we are Avengers of Health. Hide the donuts. You're listening to the Lean Braise Radio Show at theleanbraise.com. Welcome to Braise. I'm Ron Jones. I've got Jill Molshan here with us today with K-Rail. That's Kevin Rail from the Lean Braise. And we're here to talk about gluten and going gluten-free, which to me, you guys, has been a pretty confusing topic. So I'm pretty pumped about the show today, and I think it's going to be very educational, but also in Lean Braise style. We're going to throw down and no droning.
None.
I couldn't agree anymore, RJ.
I don't think, I was talking to Jill before the show, K-Rail, I don't think she's a droner.
I am not a droner.
She's Italian, so she's going to be very, enthusiastic about this topic, right?
And it's kind of funny, too, that you mentioned that I'm Italian, because you would think that on a topic like gluten-free, that we're going to learn a ton about, and the foods that you do have to omit when you're going gluten-free, that a typical Italian would have a harder time than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm here to tell you that it's possible.
I read that personal story on your website this morning before the show, and that's, that's really powerful. That might be a way to start off. I want to give a little bit of cred to you, though, before you start talking. You graduated from University of Utah. That's where my wife went to school, by the way.
Oh, super.
Yeah, she's a Ute, and you got a BS in exercise physiology.
Indeed, I did.
Yeah, and you're a wellness and life coach and personal trainer, and where are you located?
I'm out of Park City, Utah, high up in the mountains.
Great, Park City.
7,000 feet.
Okay. And so what was your story? In a nutshell, you graduated from college and you're this fit chick and doing the whole health fitness thing, and then you had a really hell of a time.
I did, and it was, as I'm trying to hold face being in my early 20s, I felt like my body was just running away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I did, the less it reacted. And it was a matter of stress and age and not poor diet, the wrong diet, because I've always been into health food, but my quick fuels were carbos, and I had the wrong carbs in my body, and for a matter of quite a few reasons, I developed celiac disease. And it took me quite a long time to be able to diagnose it, and I, like a lot of other people, went to 11 plus doctors before somebody was willing to really take a chance and say, wow, all of your signs and symptoms, let's put this together. So really, when my body got away from me, it was hives and boils every single day. I had boils on my back and I had hives all over my body. I put 20 pounds on, and I'm tiny. I've always been tiny. Fatigue. I'd sleep in the middle of the day. I'd have to plan breaks just so I could come home and sleep for a couple hours. Headaches. Nausea. I was constipated for 15 years, which is my claim to fame.
Wow.
It went on and on from there. But after realizing that what I had was a disease and the food was the cure, I omitted the foods that were causing the problem, and my body came back. It was amazing.
Food as a cure is an interesting concept, and that's one thing we should kind of zero back in on, Kevin, is that can cure people of all kinds of things going on today.
Well, people try to make things more complicated than they need to be. And when they become complicated, people then turn to a magic bullet, which is, I'm going to the doctor and I'm getting a pill to fix my disease or my condition. But we should all know better than that, because pills are nothing more than, all they do is they treat symptoms of an underlying condition. And gluten is a gluten intolerance or celiac disease. We're going to get a little bit more into detail about exactly what it is in a minute, but that's a really good example of something that no pill can touch. So when you have this condition, your only option is to find out what foods you can and can't have and to avoid and so on and so forth. And for the unknowing person, I'm actually going to backtrack a little bit. For those of you that don't even know what gluten is, let's start at that point. Basically, gluten is a protein that's found in rye, barley, wheat, or any kind of product that is made from those grains. And as Jill alluded to me earlier this week, which I kind of already knew, but I flipped my mind, oats are now being put on this list as well as gluten-containing.
Hmm.
And it's basically due to the cross-contamination of being hit with other kind of grains and so on and so forth that are in gluten.
However, there are gluten-free oats if they've been made in the proper facility. There is no gluten-free rye, barley, or wheat.
Impossible. Not possible.
Hmm. So is this, you said you developed this, Jill, is this something that people get with eating too much gluten, or are you born with this, and then it develops more over time, the more you pollute your intestines? I'm not understanding that.
Great question. I have, anybody who has celiac disease, the major celiac disease, has a genetic marker for it.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather had it. My brother had it when he was born, a really, really sad childhood case. And it was, I probably should have been diagnosed 30 years ago. I'm sorry, I'm going to be 35. And there were signs of it. And I'm looking back at old pictures of myself and, you know, some of the signs and symptoms that I had as, you know, even just through high school, it should have been a red flag. But at that point, they weren't diagnosing people at the same rate they're diagnosing people now. Yes, a lot of studies are coming out now saying that the amount of processed foods that people eat that are laden with these, you know, these Franken grains, pretty much the, you know, malted barley and the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem too now is the amount of gluten in wheat, rye, and barley that is coming into our food products now is almost triple the rate that it was in years past.
And that's from the processing of the foods today?
It is from the processing, yeah.
Hmm,
so could somebody be born with this disease? Absolutely. The childhood cases are being diagnosed are being diagnosed every day. Somebody like myself, I should have been diagnosed years and years ago, but it was just a matter of it all kind of coming to a head later on in life. And it's usually, you know, a lot of people find it in their 30s. There's people in their 70s being diagnosed right now.
So this is would this be correct to say like 50 years ago you could have had it and not really been affected that much because the food wasn't processed like it is today? But now if you have it, you'll be in a lot more pain sooner.
Yes.
Okay.
And I also think in addition to that, people are now wanting to know why they're feeling a certain way, which
mm-hmm.
is so brilliant. You know, I'm not feeling great. I know I'm not on the top of my game. What could be the cause?
So there's...
Well, I can give you a little clue as to what the cause is. For example, if you take the Latin terminology of the word gluten, guess what the base word is?
Glue.
I saw that.
Glue. Okay, so think of yourself eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich made on white bread, and then afterward you feel like a complete slug. Your belly starts to feel kind of woozy, maybe crampy. You feel like there's a bowling ball in your stomach. You feel tired. You feel lethargy. Maybe this makes some pains in your body. And you just dismiss it as, well, I'm just tired. No big whoop. But that right there could be a telltale sign that you're not supposed to be eating gluten because perhaps it's forming glue inside your system and it's causing your body unbelievable work to break it down. Maybe that sounds familiar. I don't know.
So this is like a metabolic butt plug that needs to go to Lean Braised Firing Squad, man.
Fire it. However, why is that glue in so many foods? Because it helps make dough rise. It gives it that springy flavor. Those of you who are listening who have tried to start baking gluten-free, it's a whole different art form.
Hmm.
You know, that's why it's in so many products.
Now, does your website is goglutenfreegracefully.com.
Indeed.
Do you have help for people on how to make that transition to cooking gluten-free if they're into baking and things like that?
Not directly on the website. That's part of what I coach on.
Okay.
You know, people who don't go and bake in their kitchens, they're not making homemade pizzas, they're not making homemade breads or muffins, I'm never going to tell that average person that they should start baking. People who have always had that love for baking and they love to cook for their family in that way, I will absolutely coach them on how to make gluten-free muffins, how to make gluten-free breads. It's such an easy thing to do once you learn the tips and tricks.
So here's a man on the street question. If let's say I don't have a gluten allergy or disease, would it benefit me to just eat less of this regular bread product type stuff then?
I would like to chime in on this question,
yeah,
if I may. I know probably, I'm not going to say hundreds of people, but definitely 50-plus people who have not touched a gluten item in probably 10 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
They voluntarily stop eating gluten products. They think it is, not only is it not necessary in the body, which is true, it's not, but they think it's like evil, and they don't want their lips to touch any kind of gluten-free product at all. They don't even have anything that's like possibly contaminated with gluten. They voluntarily gave it up. They haven't eaten it in a while, and they think it's completely overrated and not necessary, and the body cannot digest it or break it down. Obviously, they must have gone through some kind of process where they felt some kind of reaction to it, maybe physical, maybe mental, whatever. And they choose by, you know, just by the hell of it to stop, to eliminate gluten from their diet. And
now,
of course, you have the other people that are forced to it. But
now it is a natural product, though. It's not man-made. So, you know, I'm going to chime in here a little bit because I asked Kevin this a few weeks ago, Jill. I read something that was critical of the whole gluten-free thing, saying, it's just a fad, like, you know, it's the disease of the year or whatever. And he told me that wasn't true.
It's definitely got a buzz going on right now.
Yeah.
There's people who are choosing to omit it from their diet because they hear it's a great way to lose weight. And anything that's a great way to lose weight is going to get some buzz.
Does it help you to lose weight if you go gluten-free?
If you go gluten-free correctly. If you go gluten-free and you start to incorporate whole grains, you eat things like quinoa, and you eat brown rice,
mm-hmm.
Instead of eating your breads. However, if you take say you're somebody who has somewhat of a poor diet, you're eating lots of breads, you're eating lots of pastas, you're eating lots of processed foods, guess what? Because the world is supporting us right now as gluten-free individuals, they're making alternative products to all of these to your typical, you know, favorite gluten-containing foods. You can get gluten-free bread. You can get gluten-free pasta. You can get gluten-free pretzels, cookies, crackers. However, here's the catch. Not only is that food twice as expensive in the grocery store as its gluten-containing counterpart,
mm-hmm.
but it also has, I would say 90% of the products have typically more carbohydrates and less fiber. So
really?
If you're thinking of going gluten-free as a dietary choice, and I'm going to stress that word diet, it's not going to help you at all to just replace that food with the gluten-free version.
Well, that's good information.
That's exactly where I was about to go with what you were saying. Your original comments towards the cutting gluten from your diet were absolutely correct. You start eating if you do it correctly. Now, basically, what you described is the telltale way to lose weight in the first place. You go
exactly.
to your whole grains, you go to your quinoa, you go to your fruits and your vegetables, and you go to like natural foods that are in natural state. Once you eliminate all the bread and the pasta and all the other garbage, then you're naturally your body's going to be in more harmony, more homeostasis, and you're going to naturally lose weight when you incorporate with exercise, etc. Basically, it's still. Anyway, you look at it, it's calories in versus calories out. And as Jill said, there are 1,000 gluten-free items out there. You can match anything. I've had gluten-free donuts before, and they're freaking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 340 calories apiece, and there's 27 grams of sugar for half a donut. Still calories, and it's still sugar. And if I eat 6 glazed donuts that are gluten-free as opposed to 6 regular donuts, and I sit around like a slouch, I'm going to become a fat ass.
And then you go to our firing squad because we don't like
the, and I'm going to the firing
we
squad.
Don't like the donuts here.
Yeah,
we don't want you on the firing squad, Kev.
I don't either.
Maybe some of the things you eat, but we don't want you on the firing squad.
Well, you know what people are going to say? People are going to say, "What you talking about? You know, don't be taking my bread, man."
Yeah,
so, and you know, there's a place for bread by all means. Do
good.
I have gluten-free
good.
Bread in my freezer? Absolutely, but it's in my freezer. I'm not turning, and I'll tell you what, the main ingredient in my gluten-free bread, and damn, this bread is good, is potato starch.
Really?
If somebody handed me a bowl of potato starch and said, here, I'm going to have you eat this, I would push it away. A lot of the ingredients in gluten-free food to make it palatable and to make it delicious, is super high carbohydrate.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it's organic or not. And I'm not downing gluten-free food because it is fantastic and it has helped and it has changed my life. I can still eat ginger snaps. They're wonderful.
Oh, I
but
love those
do
ginger
I
snaps.
Eat them every single day? Absolutely not. So it's a matter of taking if somebody wants to lose weight on a gluten-free diet, first start with the diet. And then start to pull the gluten out.
Well, we keep it simple here. So, what I'm hearing is this, like, if you go gluten-free, it's really, really expensive. So how can we distill this down to the average person on the street that wants to minimize the collateral damage? You know, maybe they won't go completely gluten-free, but are there things they can avoid that will at least help?
Yeah, I would say the average person walking down the street just loves bread. They got to have bread with every meal,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in the form of bagels or it's in the form of French bread or it's in garlic bread or whatever. It's got to
yeah.
be bread at every meal.
Yeah.
You know, three times a day. I would say give up your bread, if anything at all. And if you're going to replace it, use a good – there's gluten-free breads out there. I would recommend lightly toasting them because they're a little crumbly if you have them by themselves. Plain. And as Jill was saying earlier – anytime you substitute a gluten-free product with a regular product, even if it's like a whole wheat bread, you are going to lose the fiber. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
90% of the time, 99% of the time, the gluten-free products have like 1 gram of fiber. Like bread, for example, has like 1 gram per slice, if that.
So people will say, well, the gluten's got all the fiber, it's good for you. But I guess if you have the disease, then you're an exception to that.
That's true, but there's no gluten in fruits and vegetables, RJ. Or sweet potatoes.
That's
or
true.
Lean
and there's,
protein.
And there's fiber in that.
Or
yeah.
beans. So, I mean, those are totally gluten-free and they're high in fiber. So,
if you focus on the bread thing, that's going to be the big ticket item on the gluten, right?
And that's usually what people, that's the first thing I hear from the people I work with.
Okay.
Seriously, I can never eat bread again? Well, no, I'm not saying that.
What you're talking
gonna
about?
You're going to have to eat gluten-free bread if that's the case. But it's funny. Most people are going to say they're going to miss the bread the most. You know, that warm loaf of sourdough that comes to the table, you know, right
yeah.
when you go to sit down to have dinner. But the plus side of this, too, is once you start replacing your processed grains, like breads, with whole grains, your body's naturally going to start to not want the breads and the processed grains. You're already going to get your carbohydrates for the day with tons of nutrition out of the brown rices and quinoas.
Well, let's talk about, you know, looking at the handout here that we're going to post on the Lean Braise website pretty soon after the show. Let's talk about some of the intolerance and the disease, the signs and symptoms here. When you read through that, maybe giving up a little bread isn't so bad, you know. We've got gas and bloating and diarrhea, malnutrition from poor nutrient absorption, and I think that's probably something you guys need to elaborate on because it's affecting the ability for the small intestines to absorb what we really need, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's really, really interesting. There's pretty much two types of people who have celiac disease where their digestive system is affected. Number one, you have the people like me who were constipated and could not have a single bowel movement, even in, you know, even the most relaxed of situations. And then there's the other people who have more of a leaky gut. So everything they eat is just going straight through them.
Hmm.
So, and either way, it's not a good thing. So what happens is there's a few nutrients specifically that never get uptaken by the body. And the first one are all of your B vitamins. And I will keep this super simple. Your B vitamins coat all of your neurons in your brain to let the messages connect.
And why aren't they being absorbed? Is it an inflammation in the small intestines?
That's exactly what celiac disease is. It's an autoimmune disease.
Okay.
That is inflammatory based. So the small intestine becomes so inflamed that the villi, which are these little finger-like hairs that jet up and uptake the nutrients, scoop them up, and then deliver them to every other part of your body, those villi die.
Now, just a little bit of physiology here, 101 for people. That you have your large intestine closer to your exit point, and the small intestine, that's the part that absorbs stuff. So if you've got a lot of inflammation there and these little hairs can't do their job to absorb those nutrients, it can be a problem.
It's a huge problem. That's where, and this is something that's coming out in the news. Is it linked? Is it not? But I will say a lot of childhood neurological disorders, autism, ADD, ADHD, they're oftentimes being linked now to this, to either celiac disease or gluten intolerance.
I'm convinced.
Now, let's mention really quick, celiac is when all of those villi have died in your digestive system.
They're dead? They're gone?
They're dead. They're gone. Gluten intolerance is a milder form of the actual celiac disease. So I would put gluten sensitivity on one end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle, we have gluten intolerance. And then on the far end of the spectrum, you have celiac disease.
And it's
just a continuum.
That's a good point. So if you've killed these hairs in your small intestine that are absorbing nutrients, then now what?
Well, it's about eating the right foods, and that's a huge part of what I do. I call them my gut healing foods.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain top items, things that are naturally foods that are naturally anti-inflammatories. Coconut milk, phenomenal for the digestive system.
We're back to coconut, Kayril.
Oh.
I'm a huge fan of coconut.
We touched on...
Should we break free here? Should we just do all coconut for the rest of the call? Because I could just start rolling
okay
on this one.
We got some funny stories about coconut.
RJ hates coconut water. RJ hates coconut water, and we had a big topic of conversation on one of our past podcasts about his dislike for it, and I'm in love with coconut water, and I have been for a while. And if it were a female, I would marry it, but it's not, so I'll just keep on walking the road and walk. But coconut is amazing. If I could build a house out of it, I would. And it's just it's a superfood. It's in the top 10 of my superfoods. I know it's on Jill's list, too.
I want to backtrack just a second about the kids and the problems they're having. I'm absolutely convinced that all this crap going on is related to our environment, whether it's the toxins in the air or what I'm becoming more tuned in with hanging out with Kevin and people like you, Jill, is the toxins in our food.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to a little story, and I promised Kevin I'd have a little throwdown because I was in Denny's the other day eating on the road, and I saw this sign on the table. It said Baconalia. And they've got this whole program for bacon now, bacon this, bacon that. And what was really interesting is a lady next to me, and we're going to get back into our point about food healing and the connection between what you're eating and how you feel. She's complaining about her health and life insurance problems, and the guy's like, well, how can you get it? Because you had your heart attack, and they had the stents in your heart arteries put in, and this and that. And this was going on throughout the whole breakfast. And I look over there as I left, and she's eating bacon.
Bacon. Did you call her the Baconator?
The Baconator, yeah. No, but I took a picture of the sign, and then I sent it to Kevin and put it on Facebook. So I think the Baconalia program at Denny's needs to go to the firing squad.
And, you know, let's mention Denny's really quick when it comes to when it comes to somebody who's trying to dine gluten-free. If you go into lower profit margin diners,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
The easiest way to get those omelets to rise.
Really?
To add pancake batter.
Really? Yeah.
So that's one of, and we should definitely go into some hidden glutens that
Ooh.
Many people would never even think about. And
this is firing squad material, Jill.
Oh, it is. Be very, very careful as to the omelets you eat out and make sure they're 100% eggs.
My arrow would get stuck in the omelet, K-Rail. Well, this is fascinating. I mean, because I've always thought when I ate that stuff, it has a different consistency to it. I always kind of wondered what was in it because it's obvious it's not just the eggs.
Yeah, they're huge. It's almost like a Franken egg. How could three eggs puff up that much?
Yeah,
it all makes sense now. It's all about image, like making it look good and presentable and everything else. And they'll go to any extremes in the world of food. Any of these companies and restaurants especially will go to any extremes to make their stuff look, you know, bigger, fatter, fluffier, brighter, cleaner, nicer, to want you to eat more of it.
And we
come to your health in the end. All they care about is the bottom line. I mean, that's like an ongoing thing with our podcast. We keep coming back to the food industry doesn't really have your best interest in mind. They may act like it. They may play the part at times. But in the end, it's always the bottom line that matters most to them.
And we're not eating real food. We're not eating real food. And this is what Kevin has really hit home with me. And it's become a driving force in Lean Berets is to get the message out to people that we've got to start eating real food again.
Real food. Real food. And, you know, I was noticing this in a restaurant the other night. So you go into some of these higher-end restaurants, and amen to them for catering to me and other gluten-free people. I commend them for that. Anyway, you look in the menu, and some of the highest-priced items are the ones that contain the least amount of frankenfoods. It's the you know, game hens that are served with fingerling potatoes and steamed Swiss chard. So, okay, great, you're going to get $32 out of me for that, and I'm going to pay for it. But here's the gig. People are paying for good food, for this whole food. Why is the price so high? Because it's the best food for you. And if people that can afford to buy that food are paying that much money, it's because it's the cool food. Where did things like Hamburger Helper and McDonald's get to be the cool food? And why are so many people eating it when people are going into restaurants and paying $32 a plate for a Cornish game hen, fingerling potatoes, and steamed Swiss chard?
Well, you know, here's what people tell me. Well, I can't afford that. And one of the concepts I'm laying down, you guys, is that it's not just the cost of the food that day. It's the cost of the food throughout the course of your life. Because if you're going to McDonald's for the $1.99 meal, and you're thinking you're saving money, and then you get diabetes and heart disease, and you kill your small intestine, you know, then what's the price of that?
But so for $3, I just ate lunch, and I had a serving of brown rice.
Mm-hmm.
I had a can of tuna fish, and I had an apple.
Nice.
So the cost really isn't all that through the roof. It's a matter of having that food available to you and making the commitment to eating this food.
That's a part of that paradigm shift Kevin and I have been talking about. It's that there's a big shift going on, and as it should. Otherwise, we're not going to make it, you know, which is the whole purpose of Lean Berets are here, you know. So let's...
It all comes down to discipline in the end. If you want to eat the food that's good for you, you're going to find it. And if you want to bitch about the prices, you're going to bitch about the prices.
Yeah.
But as I always tell people, you pay a little bit for your food now, and you smile as you're chewing your organic Cornish hen, or you pay a little bit for your food now, and you pay none in the future, or you pay a little bit for your food now, and you pay dearly in the future, if you're able to pay anything at all, because if you have a heart attack, sometimes you may not open your eyes again. You may be dead.
And so, you know, a lot of these diseases now are being linked to people having a lifetime of celiac disease and not knowing it. So a lot of they're linking heart disease now to it. I actually just saw this on the Dr. Oz show, and it was like, amen. You know, a lot of these high blood pressure diseases are being linked to this processed food that is the precursor. And I mean, you could put that all in a little circle there too. You've got heart disease, you've got celiac disease, you got processed food, and it just keeps going around in circle. You know, and can play the whole chicken or the egg game.
And remember, the gluten is getting more concentrated in our food because of the excessive processing. I want to underscore that point, which we made earlier.
So
go ahead.
One of the things that that I think we should mention, we've dispelled the myth of trying to go gluten-free just for dietary reasons and to try and lose weight. Yeah, you know what? If you pull a lot of your gluten foods out and you start to eat whole foods, indeed, you're going to lose weight. We've already talked about that. However, there are 3 million plus people that are full-blown celiac, and we have to do this, and this is our lifestyle, and this is what we think about every day. You know, we think about sending our kids to birthday parties and if they're going to be able to eat the cake and they don't want their kid being outcasted. You know, you think about birthday parties in the classroom. You know, what's going to happen there? You think about going out to dinner with your friends. Hell, one of my biggest problems was knowing that I wasn't going to be able to eat the food that my grandmother was preparing for me.
The Italian grandmother, yeah.
And, you know, my 4'9" Italian grandmother who cooks like a goddess.
Mm-hmm.
Bless her heart, she's not with us anymore. But for that being her sign of love and always passing that plate over and us being able to eat her love.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't able to do that anymore. And there's so many of these lifestyle things that people with celiac disease, and Kevin, you just used a word called determination. I love determination because this is a disease of determination. You have to be a detective. You have to read every food label and see if there's any sort of hidden glutens. You have to ask people who make you food, what does that have in it? You're going to a dinner party. You got to prepare. It's a trial and error game.
Well, let's talk about music.
Can I just say something quick? Or
yeah, go ahead.
That's music to the Lean Berets' ears because we constantly say that to people on our podcast. You have to inspect your ingredient labels. I tell people to go to the supermarket with a magnifying glass in your hand if you need to. Always go to your ingredient label first and do your homework on things. And it doesn't take that much. It doesn't take as much effort as you think. You just take 2 seconds to look at an ingredient label or talk to someone at the restaurant about how the food is prepared. And if they give you an ugly eye, then that's fine. Let them do it. But they're still going to do their job anyway. And I do it all the time. I ask, how's the food prepared? Is it prepared in butter? Is it steamed? Is it cooked? Is it fried? Do you add this? Do you add MSG? Blah, 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 blah. You just ask quick questions. And you just got to know what to look for and what to ask for.
And that's why I love going out to eat with you, Kev, because you order first and you get all the questions out. And then I look like the little angel in the corner who just orders, you know, whatever came to me.
Well, let's talk about the signs. Like,
all right.
Maybe people are out there like, well, I never really heard all this stuff. And I'm wondering, like, do I have a problem? So what are the signs reading our hand out here if somebody is not doing the gluten thing?
Kev, you want to do one and I'll do one?
I'll do the first one.
Yeah, go for it.
I kind of mentioned it earlier. If you feel any kind of bloatedness in your stomach or any kind of pain in your abdomen, anything whatsoever of that nature when you're done eating something, it could happen within one or two bites of it, of a sandwich or like anything that's a muffin or a bagel, anything like that. It could happen as early as one or two bites, or it could happen after you're done with the whole thing. But recognize that sign right there, because I know a lot of people who have, as Jill said, there's like different phases of gluten problems. You have gluten sensitivity and you have gluten intolerance and you have celiac disease. But I know people that are just sensitive to gluten, and they'll have like a bite of something and they'll be like, oh, my stomach's hurting, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you know you're sensitive to gluten. Why even eating the thing? Oh, it tastes good, blah, blah, blah. And they don't want to give it up.
Now, sometimes...
That's one symptom right there.
Sometimes I'll eat something, and I'll get kind of that bloated feeling, but not all the time. So I wonder if it's something that has a higher concentration of gluten that I'm not tolerating well. I don't know.
It could be a matter of what you ate it with, too. I always... Before I was diagnosed, I would notice that if I ate something with sugar and with wheat in it, I was doomed. I was buckled over, and I was in so much pain. However, I love good German rye pumpernickel bread, and I would buy it. I'd buy it at our local world market, and I would have a piece of that for breakfast, and I wouldn't necessarily be gassy or bloated. So oftentimes it's the food combinations too.
Okay. So the next one is, I'll let Jill take that one.
You know, if you're a parent, have you noticed a change in your child's focus, behavior, or mood? You know, do you notice that when your child eats something, they go zing, zing, zing off the wall, and you haven't really jacked them up with any sugar at that point? Have you noticed that your child is sleeping a lot more? Have you noticed your child is not thriving? I ran into a good friend whose child is not as tall as the rest of the family members, and she's young. She's 6 years old, and they took her in to see if something was going on. They ended up testing her gluten panel through her blood, and she has celiac disease. And they weren't even thinking along that lines. And go figure, the father in the family is a gastroenterologist. So he's like, oh,
wow.
Oh my gosh, and my daughter has celiac disease. So, I mean, are you noticing things in your child that maybe are different than what you've noticed before? Crusty eyes, goopy eyes. You know, is your child constantly getting infections? You know, a big reason why I think I got celiac disease, too, is I was on a lifetime of antibiotics when I was a kid.
Hmm.
And those antibiotics really kill your small intestine and all the villi and cilia in there.
Interesting. So remember, you know, the gluten intolerance or celiac disease is killing the small intestine's ability to absorb nutrients. So if you're not absorbing the nutrients you need, you might be feeling lethargic, or your kid, you know, and not having a zest for life. And, you know, and next thing you know, the system, of course, oh, well, they're depressed. Let's put you on some antidepressants. By the way, 25% of the kids in America now are on prescription drugs.
And that is further killing it's further killing the environment and the digestive system.
We need a paradigm shift, man. We need a paradigm shift right now.
Indeed we do.
Testing.
I have a way of telling if somebody's celiac. I kind of play this game when I'm in the airport or I'm, you know, anywhere else where there's quite a good cross-section of people. I can pick out the people with celiac disease. By the way they look.
By the skin?
Uh-huh. By the red splotchy skin. And, you know, they don't even have to be eating something that would red flag me. And it's where, you know, where the weight's displaced in the body.
Which is where?
Oftentimes it's abdominal.
Interesting.
It's in wacky places. It's almost like, you know, like somebody has thrown little pillows inside of your clothes and then had you walk around. Oftentimes if you combine the red splotchy skin, really like down eyes, really, you know, kind of really lethargic eyes, and then in a slouchy position, that to me is red flag.
Really? These are really good tips. I think some people listen to this and get some awareness out of it. So let's say they're listening and they're like, oh my God, that's what I look like. I'm looking in the mirror right now. Our next section is on testing. So, and there's a little bit of dupage here, apparently, Kevin.
There's always dupage involved.
Yeah.
I mean, a simple blood test at your doctor's office, that's basically going to be what most people think and can just give you the snap of a finger and say, yeah, gluten intolerance or not. But as Jill told me earlier this week, and as I already knew, it's inaccurate.
And that inaccuracy comes from the fact that a lot of people, if they just now are starting to recognize their signs and symptoms, they'll go in to get tested, and it's not being picked up in the bloodstream yet because it has not gone completely systemic in the body. What they're trying to do is test the blood, but the disease is living strictly in the digestive system. So you test the blood, it's not there in the blood yet. You test the small intestine, it could be there. So that's why a lot of these blood tests have been inaccurate.
So when you do a typical stool sample, do they test for this or do you have to request that they test for this also?
There's a fabulous company out there called Entero Lab, and it's something you do at home. They send you a test kit. Mm-hmm. It's affordable. It's fast. But you're pooping in a cup, which is wacky to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But they are saying it's 99.9% accurate.
Wow.
And they're going to give you a number on a continuum. And it's pretty amazing to see some of these numbers come back.
So why don't you send that to me? And when we post the show, when I build the page, I'll hook that link up for people too.
Absolutely. And then for anybody who wants even more information on my website, I have a whole section on the testing options and the pros and cons of all of them.
Oh, that's great.
So if you want to read a little bit more in depth.
Another
really good test is the small intestine biopsy. However, it's more invasive than a blood test. So doctors will always start with a blood test. That's the easiest. If it shows up and say you do have celiac or you do have a gluten intolerance, then now you've got the ticket. However, the reason why a lot of people who do have these signs and symptoms that never get diagnosed get frustrated is because people are not concerned with the false positive. So let's say you go in and get tested and it comes back and they say, whoa, you got celiac. Are you going to go get retested again to try and see if you don't have celiac? There's nary a case of that going on. However, it's the people who get tested, no, I'm sorry, you don't have celiac, that don't believe it. And they get tested and tested and tested and tested. So I call it a disease of the false positive, of the false negative.
So
they're wanting
to see a positive test?
They want to see a positive. They know, but they've gone in for the simple blood test, and that's not the case.
That's when
I would recommend the endoscopy, which is pretty much taking a biopsy of your small intestine to see if there's any villi and what the status of your villi is.
Can't you have the stool test, though? Because that's more
accurate
than
the
blood test.
Absolutely. You can have the stool test. I would recommend the stool test above and beyond any testing. However, my favorite test is this, and it takes a little bit of guts. Omit gluten. Omit every bit of gluten from your diet for a week. One solid week. No malted barley, no soy sauce, Just omit everything. Go on a clean diet. Now reintroduce the gluten back to your system and see what happens.
Now, is that what you meant by the elimination diet note in our handout?
Elimination diet. Let your body tell the story.
So you're not doing a colon cleanse like liquid diet. You're talking about eliminating the gluten out of your diet to see how your body reacts to that.
Absolutely. Have your protein shakes in the morning. Eat your eggs, lean proteins, fruits, vegetables, whole grains. Eat all that great food. And then, after a week, add back in the gluten breads.
And let's
gluten
get
pasta and see how you feel. And guess what? If you do have it, your body's going to tell the story.
And let's get back to listening to the body, because like Kevin made a comment, well, somebody's eating this and they know they have an issue. Why are you eating? Well, I like the way it tastes. And people kind of shut out what's happening with their bodies, especially with the food end of it. And so I think we do need to kind of pay attention. You know, here's a story I had when I was younger. I used to go to McDonald's and I would get a chocolate shake. I'd get two Big Macs, a large fry, and then a small Coke to wash it all down. And every time I did that, I had this huge gut bomb, stomach ache, bloating. I just felt like absolute crap, And then it finally dawned on me. It was the food that was making me feel so sick.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't real food, of course, we know now. But that was a shift for me. And this was before I went back to school to get my degrees. I was just, doing blue collar work, and I decided, I'm not going to eat this food anymore. It's not appealing to my stomach and digestive system. So that's the testing stuff. Can we move into the hidden substances?
Yeah, my favorite.
Before we get there, I just want to make another point about the elimination diet. And I was telling you about the people I know who've walked away from gluten and everything.
Right.
And I think the reason they walked away and stayed away is because they did precisely what Jill said. They eliminated gluten from their diet for a week. And what they found was this huge pot of gold at the other side of the rainbow, where their energy levels were through the roof. They were more physically fit. They were more strong. They had better concentration, more mind energy. They didn't have to take a 2 o'clock nap to get through the day. And they just felt all around better. And I don't think they wanted to give that up. So they stayed away from gluten.
So to simplify this, if you just want to take a less radical approach, just kind of strip the bread out of your diet and see if you feel a little bit better, right?
Yeah, if you're eating like an item every day in your diet that's full of gluten, such as bread or like bagels in the morning, and you're feeling like sluggish in the morning, tired, any one of the symptoms we were talking about earlier, try to eliminate that food for a week.
Now, on the label, will it say gluten on the label if it has gluten in it?
That's a big red flag. If you have celiac disease or you've been recently diagnosed or you're trying to avoid it, if a product does not specifically say gluten-free, it has gluten in it.
Okay, that's a good tip.
In one way or another. If I, I'm super sensitive. I can't even bake with any gluten ingredients. If I was to put in a batch of oatmeal cookies, that were made with wheat flour and glutinous oats, if I was to open up the oven to pull those cookies out, that steam gets on my face, my eyes are going to swell up. I am that sensitive now.
Wow, that's incredible.
I wasn't always that sensitive. The cleaner you get, the more sensitive you'll become. There are a lot of products out there, Kev, and Kev, I agree with you on most things, but I have to disagree slightly on this one. If you look at the ingredients on the back and it doesn't have any gluten ingredients in it, oftentimes it could be gluten, it could be glutinous, but not always. If it says made in a certified gluten-free plant, free of cross-contamination, you've got the 100%. Go for it. You can eat any of that stuff. But there's a lot of products that I eat, like Uncle Ben's. Uncle Ben's now makes a rice that's it's already prepared. They make white rice and a brown rice. That stuff saves my life in a pinch when I need a quick dinner.
Hmm.
And it's processed in a facility that, processes wheat and other grains, but I don't get sick from it. So oftentimes it's a matter of doing the detective work, but knowing what really works for your system. On the other hand, there's a bag of tortilla chips that we have in our cupboard right now, and it's not organic or certified gluten-free, and I can't eat them. There's a lot of brands I can eat, but because they obviously have a cross-contaminated fry later, So hello, all of you people out there that are going to be diagnosed. You can't have fried food anymore. It's one of the worst sites for cross-contamination.
Well, that'd drop some weight off people.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So let's underscore that cross-contamination with the gluten is largely through frying processes, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And in dirty cutlery, if you go to a restaurant, you know, one of the biggest things that my business does is I go in and have a whole certification program now for restaurants where I teach their kitchen staff, their wait staff. We go in and do menu development. And the biggest thing that I teach people is cross-contamination. Condiment jars. You go take your knife that's been in your peanut butter and then you spread it on, you know, wheat toast, and then some of those crumbs go back into the peanut butter jar,
mm-hmm.
and then you spread it on a gluten-free piece of bread. That's the cross-contamination right there. Even toasters. I can't use my husband's toaster.
So some people, not all people are this sensitive, but some people, if they have full-blown celiac disease, it's going to be that way?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are the hidden substances? Because there's a lot of, Kevin and I, we've approached this subject a few times. They're sneaking things in all kinds of food today. So can you hit that a little bit, Jill?
Yeah, there's beer, first and foremost. It's called, you know, a.k.a. the barley pop. There are gluten-free beers out there. Modified food starch. If it's made in the United States, modified food starch is usually safe. If it's made in Europe, modified food starch is oftentimes wheat-based. Licorice is hidden gluten. You know, one of the main ingredients there is wheat. Soy sauce. Unless you're getting gluten-free soy sauce, it's water, wheat, and soybeans. Anything that says malt on it, malt flavoring, malted barley extract, malt vinegar, those are all made from barley.
So barley and wheat, those are the big culprits with the gluten.
Yeah,
and in
barley, wheat, and rye.
And the processed barley and wheat stuff is even worse.
Yes.
Okay.
And Kev, I love that you put this on the list, and it's texturized vegetable protein. So many people who decide that they're going to start eating, meat-free alternatives to things, and say you buy, let's say tofu pups. Oftentimes, their binders are texturized vegetable protein. So a lot of your vegetarian sausages and vegetarian breakfast products, they're all made with texturized vegetable protein, and those are all. It says it right on the package. Vital wheat gluten. You can even buy vital wheat gluten in the bulk department of Whole Foods because it helps bind things. Another one that I don't think a lot of people even think about is crab with a K, K-R-A-B. It's oftentimes found in, store-bought California rolls. So unless you're getting 100% blue crab, what they're using is pollock, and pollock is wheat starch.
So it's a fake crab.
You be really careful as to what your sushi is containing.
Is that why they spell it with a K? Because
they
can't use real crab terminology. Is that why?
Crab with a K. It's actually a family joke in our house.
It needs to go to the firing squad.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the same stuff that you have. That's the imitation crab meat stuff, right? They sell it just like that as well.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah, it's orange on the outside and white in the inside.
Yeah. I've seen it.
I lived on that in college the first time around. When I was back in Massachusetts, I ate seafood salad on a roll with French fries every single day.
And you were sick as hell.
And I was sick as hell. I couldn't concentrate at all. My dad wants to know why I didn't do perfectly my first time around in college. It's because of the gluten, Dad.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't anything else. It was all gluten.
Yeah.
Wow. Interestingly enough, cosmetics, lotions, shampoos, conditioners?
It's glue.
And those
that's
are
really
all.
Good way to remember.
And you wonder why your anus doesn't work properly. It's glue.
It's glue. It's all getting stuck.
Which, by the way, is another issue because of the toxins in the food. Now you've got them stuck in your large intestine and absorbing even more into your system. And then
we
wonder why we have colon cancer. High rates of colon cancer in this country. You know, we could do a whole show on that, man. You know, the whole digestive system, if I was a doctor, I think I'd be a digestive guy. because it fascinates me. The whole bowel movement thing just fascinates me, Kevin, because there are people in this country that don't take a crap for 4 or 5 days. And now it's starting to make sense.
I'm going to give you, I got to give you a little funny story. I hope this doesn't embarrass you, Jill, but back in my, when I was back in my Park City days, when I used to work with Jill, she used to be a colleague of mine.
I have no idea where this is going, but I'm excited.
First of all, I'd come in the morning work. I'd be training someone in the morning, and I'd see Jill come walking in with a baggie in her hand full of some kind of cereal mix or something. And then I'd stop over later in the afternoon and hang out. We'd have like a bowl of salad or something, and she'd read some of her diary to me. And she'd be like, okay, listen to this. I got up today. She goes, Tuesday. Got up. She goes, runs through her whole schedule. She goes, I have an appointment at 7 o'clock, 8, 9, 10. She names all the appointments. She goes, no bowel movement. She goes, nap at 2 o'clock. Went for a bike ride at 6 o'clock. And she like rambles on all this stuff. The next day she goes, Wednesday. Rambles on the same thing. She goes, no bowel movement. Went for a bike ride at 2 o'clock. Had a nap at 6 o'clock. And she rambled on like 5 days in a row. And she like stops and stares at me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm looking at her across the counter, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting, Jill.
That can't be healthy.
That was basically like, and she was describing her symptoms to me. No energy. She'd get up in the morning, drink her coffee, and then she's eating these graham cracker treats or something first thing in the morning, making herself sick with them. And then getting tired in the afternoon, taking a nap, then she'd go for a bike ride, and she didn't have a bowel movement, so she was stressed out. And I was like, holy smoke.
So you knew her before she discovered all this and got into the whole gluten-free thing then?
I was part of the whole discovery process, RJ.
Oh, that's cool. What a cool story. And here we are. Here we are in the Lean Berets, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, and she would tell me about all her symptoms, all her conditions, and she was going to see this doctor, and she couldn't figure anything out. And then she told me about the bloated stomach and the whole nine yards. I knew about all of it.
Hmm.
And now,
and bang, finally, the light bulb went on, and boom.
Let's flash forward so many years forward. Now I'm so obsessed with how well I go to the bathroom that every morning I think about like posting it as my Facebook status. I know that people would be completely mortified with me. But I mean, after like being constipated for 15 years,
I can understand.
I love
that.
To say that to people. I was constipated for 15 years. Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah. I should get a medal for that one.
Now
yeah.
you're the gluten-free glute goddess now.
That's right. A pooping machine.
Which is good for your health, by the way.
Yes, it is.
People underestimate that, but it's actually a big health issue.
Yeah, I was on Dr. Oz once too, a few weeks back.
So if a product doesn't specifically say it's gluten-free, it most likely isn't. Is that our closing point on that? Okay, and we're going to move.
I would say most likely isn't, but
yeah.
Like Jill said, you just got to be very well read, and you got to be careful of how your body reacts to everything.
So let's
call the manufacturer.
Call the manufacturer. It's a great idea.
Be the detective.
Call the manufacturer or get on their website. Because this is so prevalent right now, you could even Google, like, let's say Google Tostitos gluten-free manufacturer, and you're going to get a whole list of people who have contacted the manufacturer and what they've found. However, manufacturers change ingredients all the time, so just keep reading your labels.
That's a good point. And let's move forward to the safe starches and grains, the good stuff. Now let's talk a little bit about that, get some people some hope here that, hey, you can go out and get some good grains too.
And the first, which is like the best superfood in the world, is quinoa. However, don't be mistaken, it's not a grain. It's actually a seed, which is why it's super high in protein. So it eats like a grain, but it's actually a seed.
I keep hearing about that, and I've had it before. It's pretty interesting.
And it's spelled quinoa, quinoa, pronounced quinoa. Phenomenal. Corn. Corn is a great gluten-free product. Any of your rices, brown rice, wild rice, white rice, even risotto, the risotto rice is gluten-free. Amaranth, which is getting a little bit more adventurous.
I've never heard of that until I read the handout today.
You'd never heard of amaranth?
No, what is it?
It is, it's an ancient grain, but it tends to be super high in protein as well. It's showing up in a lot of breakfast cereals, especially gluten-free breakfast cereals.
Really?
You can use it as a flour, but also in its whole grain form, you can simmer it just like you would couscous. It's a small grain, and it's delicious. It has
really
a sweet, nutty flavor. It's really, really good. But a lot of people are doing amaranth flakes, and you can make it almost like oatmeal.
Really?
Yeah. Quinoa is also a great
amaranth cereal by a company called Heritage. And we're going to get to the Lean Berry approved companies in a minute, but Amaranth cereal is fantastic. It's like a healthy version of Frosted Flakes.
Now, the quinoa is not on our list here. Is that something we need to add?
Quinoa is
on the list.
Yeah, quinoa is on the list.
Must not be on your list, on our list.
Okay.
Quinoa, I'm going to add a little more quinoa.
Okay, well, and send me an updated handout there before I post it.
Okay. I will do that. But quinoa is by far a superfood. And when I eat quinoa, when I eat just plain quinoa, when I prepare it, literally, now I the first time this happened, I thought I was going nuts or something. But when it's happened like every time after I've eaten quinoa since then, I know now that it's the truth. When I eat quinoa, literally within 30 minutes, my muscles feel solid as a rock. I feel like I just took like a shot of creatine or something like that.
Wow, interesting.
Quinoa has all the essential amino acids in it. It's considered a grain, but like Joel said, it's basically a seed. But it's the only grain, I'm quoting that right now, that has all the essential amino acids. It's the only complete protein of any kind of grain there is.
I've heard it's like the superfood. If you're stuck on an island somewhere, that'd be the food you want to survive with, right?
Mm-hmm. It comes in black varieties, red varieties, regular, white varieties. They're all loaded with B vitamins. And you know what's so interesting? A lot of these gluten-free grains are packed with the nutrients that a person with celiac disease or a gluten intolerance needs to put back in their system to heal their system. Go figure.
Ah, fascinating.
Yeah, it's like meant to be.
So here we go. Next section, voluntary avoidance.
Yeah, well, basically, this is just a recap of what we said earlier. If you're trying to lose weight, going gluten-free might help you, like Jill said, if you choose to go a healthier path with your diet. But if you're 50 pounds overweight and wake up one day and go, oh, I'm fat, I can't get out of bed, I'm going on a gluten-free diet today, it's not happening. You got to still take into consideration your overall caloric intake, and you have to cut it. You got to cut your calories, and you got to move. It's that simple. You got to exercise.
Or like a...
But if you're looking for a gluten-free diet as like the next, Atkins diet or the next miracle diet, that you're going to lose 20 pounds in a week, it's not going to happen. Just ain't.
So you got to realize, as you put in our handout, Kevin, you still cannot hide from the fact that you need to cut calories and get off the damn couch.
Exactly.
That's absolutely a Lean Braised throwdown.
Absolutely.
So closing comments, you guys. We're running up on an hour almost here, so we've been a little longer in the show today than we usually go, but we have some good technical info. So closing comments.
My closing comment would be celiac is a disease. Tried and true, it's a disease. It's a disease whose only cure is the proper foods. So you have to omit the foods that are making you sick, and you have to reintroduce foods that are going to help to heal your digestive system. So make no mistake, you guys, yes, it's a buzz right now. Gluten-free is everywhere, but it's not just a buzz. There's a whole side of people that are eating gluten-free, and they know it makes them feel fantastic. There's, a whole host of other people, 3 million, which they're projecting in the next 10 years, it's going to double, if not triple. We're going to get up, into 9 million just diagnosed cases of celiac disease.
And remember, the gluten concentration is getting greater because of the excessive processing, so we can expect to see more and more people affected by this disease.
Absolutely. It's becoming standard routine testing in most doctors' offices.
So we'll see then restaurants starting to offer more gluten-free options and potentially then.
Yes,
absolutely.
And I'd like to add something to that. There's a local pizzeria Uno out here in Pennsylvania that has a gluten-free pizza right now.
Cool.
And yeah, pizzeria Uno is pretty good.
That is a good sign,
and
Kevin.
I know of a couple local family-owned Italian places that now have gluten-free pasta as well.
Well, that's
awesome. That's a very good sign to me.
But be careful. Ask them to simmer it in clean water, and that's where that's where I become kind of the pain in the butt that's sitting in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you're offering gluten-free pasta, but have you double washed that pot and pan before you made my food?
And if they need help, they need to hire your services because you can show them how to not contaminate those utensils.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people are really interested in this topic, go on and sign up for my newsletter. It goes out monthly. It's some of the best tips and tricks for anybody who's either chosen a gluten-free lifestyle, who have been diagnosed and need to live a gluten-free lifestyle, or for their friends and family, just to get more awareness as to what's going on. And is this just buzz? Is it all made up in your head? Are you doing, it's all, I'm trying to build awareness. Mm-hmm. Let's build awareness on this disease. Let's build awareness just for the gluten-free nation out there. So yeah, go on and sign up for my newsletter. Lots of tips and tricks sent right to your inbox.
Yeah, and Jill's website is goglutenfreegracefully.com.
JillMolshon.com works too.
Cool. And our last little section before we close out is the Lean Braise approved companies, Kevin, for gluten-free foods.
Absolutely. So if you're still going to eat your bread and your cereal, your donuts, whatever you want, go to your local grocery store. I would suggest a health food store because any health food store is going to have all this stuff. Some of the companies that we swear by as Lean Braise are Udi's, Kinnikinick, Pamela's, Energy Foods, Glutino, Vidal, and Enjoy Life. And if I said them too fast, that's totally cool because you'll be able to look at it on our – we'll have the handout for our show on our website, and you can check it out there.
Yeah, and I'll
so
actually –
other companies there that I missed doing?
I'll hook up the company websites on Jill's page and leanbraise.com as well. So how about your contact info, Jill, so people know how to get a hold of you if they're listening, and then we'll also put this on your page on the Lean Braise site.
So walk outside your front door, open, stand on your porch, and scream, I am ready to go gluten-free. And I'll hear you, and I'll come find you. I'm just kidding. So either go to JillMolshon.com, JillMolshon.com, or go glutenfreegracefully.com. And all of my contact information's on there. You're going to get a list of approved and non-approved grains. You're going to get video blogs. You're going to get whole hookups to my regular blog page. There's so much information on that. You can read my story. You can read my story cover to cover. And get in touch with me. Let me know what you guys are thinking. I want to know if you guys are thinking this is buzz, if you're thinking of getting tested, and how we can get you healthy.
And you're going to put this show link in your newsletter this next week, right?
Yes, I will. You guys can just click on the link and listen from there.
All right. Well, this has been a fascinating show. I've learned a lot, and like all the shows, when we cover nutrition, I immediately like jet out to Whole Foods or someplace and got my little list, and I take some action on it, K-Rail.
Yeah, man. It's all good.
Because we can heal ourselves with food and regular exercise, and that's what we do. Thanks a lot, Jill, for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, Jill.
And K-Rail, thanks for the hookup with Jill, and I have a feeling we'll be talking to her more in the Lean Berets.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Really
thanks,
appreciate
Ron.
It. You've been listening to Lean Braise Radio Show at TheLeanBraise.com. Supercharged rockabilly today provided by Hot Rod Walt and the Psycho DeVilles. Until next time, keep your foot in the accelerator for health and rock on. Ready on roots, rock. Ready to rock you tonight. I know you gotta dig that new tattoo. To blame a rolling dice or a lucky horseshoe. You gotta dig an oven and a grand guitar like clap.